It's the prayer of faith. That's what I want to reflect on with you. The prayer of faith is powerful and effective. That's the main message from the passage today. The prayer of faith is powerful and effective. The passage begins with this sentence today. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. You know, if you are going through difficult and challenging times, and you're able to figure it out, then you figure it out. If there's solutions and answers that you can come up with, then you go with the solutions and answers. But sometimes, there just aren't answers to our problems. Sometimes there is no just figuring it out. That is when we need to pray. The prayer of faith begins with recognition that I am limited in what I can do. That these problems or challenges that I have are beyond my capabilities. That is when we enter into the prayer of faith. There was a Canaanite woman. Canaanites are Gentiles. And she came up to Jesus one day, and she desperately pleaded with him to heal her daughter who was sick. Jesus kind of gave a strange response at first. He's like, I came only to save the house of Israel. In other words, I came for my Jewish people, not others. But she persisted. She kept begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And this is what happened after that. Jesus answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. It sounds very cold, right? She said, yes, Lord. Yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This woman, she did not take offense. All she knew she needed was this healing power that Jesus could bring. She desperately begged him. Jesus was so impressed by her faith that he healed her on the spot. Prayer of faith comes when we recognize our need, that we cannot do anything else anymore than what I've done now. The prayer of faith begins to open up your heart to God, begins to open you up to divine power and intervention. The prayer of faith lifts up your cries of your heart to God. So the prayer of faith, it brings you into God's presence. The funny thing about prayer is that after the prayer, I mean, nothing really changes. Your situation, your circumstances, your problems are still the same. But something changes you. That's the mysterious power of the prayer of faith. The situation is not different, but somehow you are different. You entered into prayer with no strength, but somehow you leave after prayer with a little bit more strength. You enter into the prayer of faith with no hope and despair. But after the prayer of faith, somehow there's a little bit more hope. You have some strength to keep carrying on. That is the power of the prayer of faith. That has been my experience. That was what St. Paul discovered. And that's why he said this, for whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The prayer of faith is our lifeline to the power of God when we are weak. So the prayer of faith is a gift for us. But it's not only just a gift for us. Yes, prayer of faith is important and is good, But we know from our own life experience that sometimes we don't even have the strength to pray. Sometimes life has just worn us down, made us too tired or weary to even come before God and pray. This is why the prayer of faith is not just for us alone. It is also a gift for the community. This is what James says in today's passage. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. The prayer of faith is a gift for the community. When you have no strength to pray on your own, you have others who can pray for you. That was the whole beautiful song that Tai just sang. Someone is praying for you. And because of that, we can carry on. You know, I was reflecting, in the first generation, second generation, because, you know, our parents, they're all getting old. You know, as we were growing up, what did they really have to give to us? They didn't have any social capital. They didn't have any connections. They didn't have money, wealth. They didn't have these kind of resources. But yet when I look, here we are, all doing so well. What was it that they gave to us? They gave us prayer. They prayed for us. That's why they attended morning, early morning prayer every morning. Why? To pray for you. The prayer of faith is what has brought us this far. Isn't that true? Amen? Prayer of faith is a gift for the community. Praying for others is a central part of a spiritual community. It should be at the core of what we do. Praying for one another, praying especially when the other has no strength to pray on their own. That is why we do pastoral visits too. I mean, it's been such a joyful blessing of ministry for me to connect at a deeper level and find out what's happening in your life and hearing the things of your heart. Ultimately, I mean, there's nothing much that I can do, but what we do is we say a prayer of faith. Because when we say this prayer, and we are together entering into God's presence and seeking God's wisdom and God's power to help you. That is what Jesus meant when he said this, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And this is why we pray together. When we pray together, Jesus is right there with us. That is why prayer, a faith in a community, is so powerful, because God is right there with us. Our High C and youth ministry, it's such a precious part of our church's ministry. I mean, look at the amazing praise team. They're all young adults now, and they're such a wonderful presence to this community, and in large part because of the foundations they had when they were youth. And it doesn't just happen out of nowhere. There's a lot of, sure, fellowship and programs, but one of the most powerful, informative parts of our youth ministry are our retreats. It's where they are shaped. Now, parents, you all know the power that these retreats have. But at the retreat, it's not merely just the fun, the games, and being outdoors. All that's good. But you know what the most powerful part of our retreats are? Is that moment when our youth are sharing their burdens and praying for one another. That is the powerful moment for them. That is where they experience the presence and the power of God. That is where they are changed, where they are healed, where they find new hope. It's the greatest blessing in our church for them to experience that. This is not only for should not only be for our High C and youth. That should be for our whole church. This community should be one where we are praying for one another. And prayer, my friends, it does not depend on your friendship with the person next to you. It doesn't matter how close you are. It doesn't matter how much you really even know about them. We can all pray for one another, and we can all be one in Christ through that prayer of faith for one another. My friends, the weight of the world is very heavy. It's too much for anyone to bear all by themselves. No one should have to bear it by themselves. God gave us the body of Christ, the community, to share our burdens and to have them lifted up through our prayers for one another. And our mission, ongoing mission, is to invite more, because it's a lonely world out there. Everyone needs the power of community and prayer. So my friends who are here today, don't carry your burdens all by yourself. Turn to the community of faith. Turn to your elders, as the passage says. Let them pray over you. That is why we elect and ordain elders. And that is their central job, really, is to love you and to pray over you. And so for our elders too, that is your role, really. All the other administration and stuff, sure, we need to do that. But ultimately, whether you're currently in the session or past, simply we have to be connected and pray over our members. So prayer of faith is a gift for yourself, and it's a gift for the community. And it is more than that, too. Prayer of faith is a gift for humanity and the world. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is the central line. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the will of God? The will of God is made known through the life of Jesus Christ. And this is how St. Paul interprets it, what he came to do. For he, Christ, is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. God's will, as it became known in Jesus Christ, is to bring peace, to take away the animosity and hostility between us, to create one new humanity in place of the two. That is God's will for this world, for there to be peace, reconciliation, and unity in our difference. But we know that God's will is so different from the reality we see in this world. Yeah, as we speak right now, so much death happening in the Middle East, Gaza, and Lebanon, everywhere else, all other corners of the world too. Where is the reconciliation? It's the opposite. There's so much rhetoric towards immigrants or migrants, outsiders. So much vile hatred being stoked. What we are seeing is the opposite of God's will for this world. Not only there, but we know in our own hearts and our own communities too. I met an old friend yesterday who came back to Toronto after living in LA for a long time, over a decade. And I asked her, "So how has it been coming back?" And she said, "You know what? I don't know if it was like this before, but people in Toronto, they seem kind of mean, right? I mean, LA people are chill, West Coast vibe, but they're mean, and I think that's kind of true. You know, we were at the Koreatown Street Festival in the summer. It's supposed to be a festive time. But then one car was trying to get into a parking spot, but then the other guy backed in. And the lady got out of the car just screaming profanities. I'm like, yo, people, chill out. People are so mean and angry. Hostility. It's hostility in our hearts. My friends, Jesus came to bring peace. How do we do that? How do we find peace and reconciliation in our hearts? What is the way? Because we all agree, oh yeah, we should be unified. There should be love. You know, there should be unity. How does that happen? I believe it is only through prayer of faith together. This is what James says in today's passage. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. I think this is so true. We need to have spaces where we can just sit down calmly and confess our sins to one another, our wrongdoings to one another, and then pray for each other in a spirit of forgiveness. Pray for each other in a spirit of reconciliation. And we need to pray because we know how hard it is to forgive someone who's hurt you. It's almost sometimes it's impossible to do that with our own strength, especially when we've been wronged so much. To do that, we need divine power. We need the power of the cross, the power of Jesus' sacrificial love. And that, my friends, will only happen when we are joined in prayer. Because in prayer, that is when the power of God and the presence of God is with us. That is why we need the church. The church needs to be this space where we will pray and confess to each other, my brother, my sister, I have done this to you. I'm sorry. And you know what, my brother or my sister? I've been hurt, yes. But because of God's love for me and all of us, I want to forgive you. And then we pray together. Lord, may there be a spirit of reconciliation and healing. Don't we need these kind of spaces in this world, my friends? The prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise us up. That is what James is saying in today's passage. The prayer of faith is a gift for yourself. It's a gift for the community, and it's a gift for humanity and this world. I don't know any other way how we can bring peace in the midst of all this animosity. I've experienced this power of prayer. We're reflecting on the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. I've spoken several times about our time at Sioux Valley, how powerful of an experience it was. But same thing. You know what made the experience so powerful in the end? Yes, the sharing of our hearts, that's important. That's an important setup. To kind of use a baseball analogy, right? If you're winning a game, you have the setup man, the pitcher, who in the seventh or eighth inning, they got to keep the game winning. And then you bring in the closer to finish off the game. So yes, you know, creating a safe environment so that people feel safe, that's the important setup, right? And then even conversation and sharing of our hearts, very important setup. But the closing is the prayer together. When we prayed together in that chapel, praying for God's healing power, praying for God's wisdom, and praying for God's guidance to come, that is when we felt the power of God in our midst. That's when we were connected, we were unified. We came from totally different places, but we were one. That is how we will achieve healing, reconciliation, through the prayer of faith. Let us be the people who pray. When your strength is flagging, turn to God in prayer. When you don't have the strength to pray, turn to someone in the community and ask them to pray for you. If you see someone whose strength is dropping, pray for them and over them. And always, let us pray for this world around us. That is our calling. That is our God's mission for us.